Brian Heilig is the author of Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, our micro-preemie story. But hang in there. This is a perfect Father's Day story. How you doing, Brian?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me, Steve.
Well, I'm talking to you from Florida at the moment, but you grew up in Arlington Heights. You moved to Mexico, and that's kind of where the story starts for us here. Why did you move to Mexico?
So I actually had a job opportunity that I accepted, and we were at a time in our lives where we said, let's do this. We don't have kids, and what do we have to lose?
And at some point in time, your wife gets pregnant, your little boy
that's
named
right.
Grayson, and everything was fine through the pregnancy, but your wife got pregnant a little older. Maybe that's part of the story. What did happen?
Well, it is part of the story. We were getting older and thought, hey, you know what, maybe we should try to start having kids, and it wasn't working. So we tried a round of IVF, which actually did not work. And we decided, Diana, actually my wife, because I don't think guys could handle this IVF experience. we did it a second time, this time in Mexico, to see if we could hopefully have a baby, which she did get pregnant. We were in Cancun at that time. We were at 41 years old, and it was just incredible. She had a pregnancy that was going well. She was high risk just because of her age and because it was an IVF. But then things took a turn, which was at about the 25-week time frame. She developed severe preeclampsia, and the doctor said, we have to deliver the baby to save Diana's life.
And at that point, they do that. They deliver the baby. Diana's still here. Diana's fine. So that's not really where this story goes, but it does have everything to do with the baby named Grayson. Talk about that.
That's right. So he was born right at the exact 26-week date. He was immediately put into the NICU, and over the next 21 days, our life just completely was turned upside down. And in the middle of that, we were posting just to let people know what was going on and doing some Facebook Lives. And we had some NICU nurses reach out to us from different parts of the world suggesting that he might not be in the best, you know, positions. And if it was possible, it would be best for him if you could move him to the States.
Why?
So the thing about Mexico is the healthcare overall is really phenomenal, but the NICU is about 30 years behind as far as technology goes, and they don't have proper incubators. He was in a bed with saran wrap and a heat lamp. We didn't know the difference because you never really expect to have a premature baby, but the nurses were telling us, you know, he needs to be, his legs should not be flailing around. Imagine he's supposed to still be in the womb, so they want him to be more cradled, like in a fetal position, and inside an isolate, a proper incubator would be a better chance for his survival.
And they just simply, in Cancun, didn't have at any hospital. It wasn't necessary.
No, we were.
Yeah, they just didn't have the incubators?
No, we were at the very, very good private hospital, and the technology just is not there, unfortunately.
Now, to be clear, and I don't want to bash Mexico. That's not the intent here. How was your wife's care? You said in the book it was very, very good.
Yeah, so she right after delivery, she actually went into the ICU, and it was phenomenal, just an absolute amazing experience. Not that experience, but the doctor, the healthcare and so forth mm-hmm. was great. They got her back to herself and was able to come out after a couple days so that she could finally see Grayson. And just one more note on that, Grayson's doctor is a phenomenal doctor. When we actually did get him to the States, they said that with the equipment that he has, he is one heck of a doctor and kept Grayson alive.
At some point in time, did you think along the way, before he's moved to the United States, that Grayson just wasn't going to make it?
Absolutely. The other challenge that we had is communication. When you're at that level in the hospital, there is nobody that speaks English. So we don't speak Spanish and did not have a way to properly communicate. We tried to bring in translators, but they've never heard the medical terms in English, so they didn't know how to translate it. It was a nightmare. And there was one point where we just had to stick to hand signals and play charades, and there were more thumbs down than thumbs up.
And you actually thought, to be clear, that Grayson wasn't going to make it. And at some point, and at what point did you say, okay, we've got to move this baby to the U.S.?
Yeah, to answer that question directly, absolutely. We thought that we were going to lose him. And it was, thank goodness, to those NICU nurses who were bold enough and courageous enough to reach out to us to tell us, hey, this is a very real possibility. They move kids all over the world for proper, better care. And we started investigating those options, and lo and behold, the hospital that we transferred him to in Miami did have a transport team that came out. And when the doctor in Mexico saw the equipment, they were translating and said that he was out of his mind. He has to take pictures, videos. He's never seen anything like that. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. team said, look, that's our mobile equipment. He would lose his mind if he saw what we have at the hospital.
Wow. Now, did this doesn't come, this isn't an easy thing to do. It's not easy to move an adult from one country to another quickly that isn't able to physically travel on his or her own. So how did you do this, and how did you pay for this?
So this was an absolute incredible experience as far as how that mobile team moved Grayson. They had a mobile incubator that they put him into. We put him into an ambulance, took him onto the tarmac in Cancun, kind of had to, almost like playing Tetris, put this apparatus into the plane where it was the smallest plane I'd ever seen before, much less been, have been in. It was a pilot, co-pilot, three mobile nurses, and myself and Grayson, and that was pretty much all that could fit on the plane. The plane was, it took off. We never felt our ears pop or anything. They said that the pressurized so that the baby wouldn't feel that. We were cruising at 40,000 feet and got to Miami in like 45 minutes. It was incredible.
Now, you didn't mention your wife. Did she have to hitchhike to go back?
So we had our dog, Cha-Cha, at the time as well, and we couldn't put all of us on the plane. So she, with her mother, who came to Cancun to help out as well, they took the dog and whatever they could as far as luggage and just took the next plane out. So she came the next morning.
And the story doesn't end there, friends. And we'll learn why the book by Brian Heilig is called Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, Our Micro-Preemie Baby. But why Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow? We'll find out when we come back on WGN. Brian Heilig is the author of Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, Our Micro-Preemie Story. Brian, what do you do currently?
So I am a sales manager, training manager for a division of Holiday Inn's ownership program.
Okay, and you're currently in Florida, right?
Correct. I'm in the Orlando area.
All right. So you have this preemie baby who wasn't getting some of the care. I mean, certainly people tried, but they just didn't have the equipment. We're talking about an incubator, and it's hard to believe because that is such, in America, basic equipment. Were you shocked that the Mexican hospital in Cancun and the best hospital in Cancun, a major city in Mexico, which otherwise has, you said your wife was well taken care of medically, were you shocked they didn't have something so basic? And why did they explain to you that they didn't have it?
So I wish I could tell you that part, Steve. We didn't know what we didn't know. So we thought everything was just normal, you know. I mean, they had a NICU. They had a bed. I'd never experienced a NICU before. I've heard of incubators, but never really saw one. So it wasn't until those nurses kind of showed us pictures and the way that things could be that we thought, my goodness, I can't believe that Cancun, like you said, such a major city in Mexico, would not have at least an incubator. And it wasn't until we arrived to the States that they were looking at the pictures that we were showing them, the nurses and the doctors, and they said that they studied how it used to be back in the old days in NICUs, and some of the equipment that they had was similar. So I would love to have an answer, but I don't. But I'm determined through this project to help put proper incubators into Mexican hospitals.
And in fact, that's where the proceeds of the book are going?
That's correct. All net proceeds of the book are going toward that mission in whatever capacity it looks like.
All right. Now, the name of the book is called, again, Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, our micro preemie story. Why Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow?
So there was a time in our 21 days in Mexico that we, through charades, figured out that he needs to eat, poop, and grow. And he was on an oxygen, so we added breathe, eat, poop, and grow. And we created a song, if you will, or a mantra that we would sing to Grayson every time we saw him so that he could breathe, eat, poop, and grow so Grayson can come home.
How long was it before Grayson came home?
So we were 21 days in Mexico and then another 84 in Miami. So it was 105 days in the NICU.
It's almost a year, right?
Yeah, well, it seemed like a lot longer.
Yeah. How did you guys deal with that? And how did Grayson make the transition once at home? Were there still medical issues that you had to deal with?
Yeah, so once we got to the States, we were learning more and more about, you know, just preemies, micro preemies. It's a different category in general, and some of their different health issues. Thank God Grayson had none of the typical issues, which would be like brain bleeds, you know, lung issues, and eye issues. So that was just incredible that he didn't have those things. But yes, there was ongoing care. He came home from the hospital with a similar type monitor to make sure that he was breathing through the night. So what happens with these babies is they forget to breathe because they're not supposed to be breathing at this moment air, you know. And so they actually imagine like extreme sleep apnea, and the monitors start going off so that they can stimulate the baby to remind the baby to breathe again. So we went home with one of those apparatuses and pretty much didn't sleep. We just watched him breathe all night, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I could see where that would be the case. So tell me how Grayson is doing today.
Oh, Grayson, he's our little miracle baby. We're so blessed. He, at 3 years old, was diagnosed with autism. So he's on the ASD spectrum. And that is, this little boy's had so many things in his life. He's lived more life than most of us. But I am so happy to report that this past year, he'll be 7 next month. In this past year, he has grown in leaps and bounds with his speech, with his pooping. Ironically, that's been an issue for his whole life, but we're getting more consistent and regular with that. And just his thirst for knowledge and his charisma and charm, everybody that meets him falls in love with him. So we're just so blessed.
What's he like?
He is a very strong-willed, kind of a loner, if you will. He does not like to be around people like his brother or even the dog. Sometimes he just, you know, needs to be alone by himself. But when he gets very focused on things, he, you know, doesn't even look, the world around him just kind of goes away. He's an avid reader. He loves to read and read for a long time by himself.
People knock social media all the time. Is social media, in fact, I know the answer to this because the answer is in your book, but social media is a great part of the story, isn't it?
Without question. I even, whether you like them or you don't like them or whatever your view is, I sent an email or a messenger to Mark Zuckerberg and I said, hey, listen, your mission is what I believe helped save our baby's life, because there was so many people reaching out to us asking questions on all these different, Facebook, text messages, WhatsApp, and we could not keep up with the demand and try to be with our friend, with Grayson and me with Diana. So we just went live, and a dear friend of ours kind of did an interview live. And from that, we had so much help from people all over the world. I'm telling you, we had NICU nurses from Australia. We had people helping and donating money, prayers, just, thoughts. We had people reach out to us and said, listen, I've been through this situation, or a friend of mine has. And I really, truly believe that unless we went public, I don't know if we would have been in the situation that we're in right now, where Grayson is even here.
And you also mentioned that medical experts commented and actually were helpful as well. Did Zuckerberg ever answer your email?
No, he did not. He did not.
Well, maybe that answer is still to come. And what your mission is really inspiring. And that is to take proceeds from the book, Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, our micro-preemie story. And it will go right back into the same hospital in Cancun?
Absolutely. That's where we plan to start. I envision the day where we can take Grayson back to the hospital and have him actually thank Dr. Campos and deliver, we want to call them G-units after Grayson, a proper incubator so he can help save other babies' lives.
Inspiring indeed. Did you ever think fatherhood would be exactly like this, Brian?
Absolutely not. You never know what to expect, but like I said before, nobody ever expects to have a premature baby, much less a micro preemie. And, the miracle part of it all is Diana got pregnant naturally with number two, which is Nathan, and he's been an absolute blessing and joy in our lives. And we're fortunate that he and his brother, for most of the part, get along, and they're growing up together, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'm enjoying every single moment. Everybody tells me the time goes so fast, so if I am fortunate enough to get a hug from one of the kids, I hang on to that hug as long as possible.
Oh, well, that is nice. And listen, if you said the brothers got along 100% of the time, then I would think something is wrong. My best to you and your wife, Diana. Happy Father's Day. And again, the name of the book, available wherever books are sold, is Breathe, Eat, Poop, and Grow, our micro preemie story. And of course, Amazon is the place to go for any book, anytime. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.